Hello, and welcome to episode 52 of Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast. Today, in the continuation of our Equity as a Catalyst for Recruiting and Retaining Quality Educators series, we have Katie Kremer, a teacher leader for recruitment and mentoring in the Colonial School District, right here in the first state of Delaware. Welcome to the podcast, Katie.
Thank you so much for having me, Anne. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, the honor's all mine. All right. So, Katie, please introduce yourself to our audience, your role, and the platforms that you stand on.
Sure. My name's Katie Kremer. I am the lead teacher for teacher recruitment and mentoring in Colonial, as Anne has already said. My role really encompasses 100 different things. The title is already long enough, so we decided to just stop adding things to it, and talk about recruitment in general. That really starts with meeting candidates, from the first meet and greet. So whether it's at a job fair, it's connecting, through contacts that are already in the district. Sometimes it's really meeting with paraprofessionals or other support staff that are already in buildings that want to become a teacher, all the way through that entire hiring process. So setting up an interview, being on the interview, providing feedback to the candidate, and then if hired, walking them through that onboarding experience as well. All of that really ends with new hire orientation in August, which is like my big Super Bowl. For those who don't do sports, that's my Super Bowl. And really supporting them through that first year through the comprehensive induction program through the state, their 4 years in Colonial. So that really encompasses that recruitment. I also do a lot with retention as well, exit interviews, meeting with teachers just to check in and see how things are going and create some adjustments along the way as needed. Residency work is a big part of my job. Residency is one of my favorite roles that has come up really in the last, I would say, 3 years that we've really leaned all the way into residency. We have more partnerships now. Residency is one of my favorite pieces of my job, and that could be a whole podcast in itself. So I won't really dive. That can be episodes 53, 54, and 55. We don't have to do that today. But yeah, that's really the majority. Like I said, there's a lot of little things in between all of that, but that really encompasses the majority of my work.
Okay, wow. So I did know some of those things, but it always sounds good to listen, to like how you're working with stakeholders at different levels. Like
Yeah.
you said, you're working on recruitment, which is bringing in that talent, right? And onboarding them and getting them acclimated to not just the academic or meeting the curriculum, but also of being a part of like the Colonial We, which you did not
Yep.
mention. But that's really super important. But then you're continuing that pipeline, right? They're novice teachers, they're veteran teachers, and you're still checking in on them, right? Which is the retention
Yep.
piece. And they do mirror or mesh together actually very nicely. My thoughts are that the best retention strat or excuse me the best recruitment strategy is actually a good retention strategy. So I'm glad to hear that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's wonderful to see our novice educators become experienced teachers and become mentors themselves or become residency advisors. So being able to see that full circle is always really powerful. I think Colonial does a really good job of building up their teachers as a retention policy by saying, like, look at all these different avenues to grow yourself. While staying in the classroom, and some options to eventually leave the classroom and take on some other different roles. But it's always really wonderful to see teachers that we hired back in 2018, like were my first batch of recruits that are now in like different roles or are now coaching or are now mentors. It's just a really powerful cycle to see. And it's, or even like some of my students that I had when I was, when I taught high school at, I taught Spanish at William Penn High School.
Yes.
Some of those students are now teachers.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Katie,
I
that's
know.
priceless, right?
It really is. It really is. And, you know, it's just a crazy, it's crazy. It's just, I can't even explain it. When I saw a teacher the other day who was in my Spanish 2 class, and she's like, yeah, things are great. I love it here. I love, she works with the pre-K students. And it was just a really powerful moment just to see all of this kind of come full circle is really powerful. I, yeah, can't say enough about it.
Yes. Well, episodes. As Katie
Episodes
said,
53, 54, 55.
Stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned.
Oh, well, we'll move on to our next question. So we're a small state with big impact. That's our Delaware motto for our talent pool of educators. What comes to mind when you hear that phrase, and how does it align with your district-wide goals around doing something different in education?
Yeah, I love this idea of doing something different. I think we've been in the system long enough. I think COVID has kind of opened up the floodgates.
Sure.
Things we didn't want to see, we could see, but we didn't want to see. And now we have to really think about how we might start to do things differently. Education does not look like it was. It's not, we're not a one room schoolhouse anymore.
Exactly.
We have big buildings. We have a lot of students. Sometimes we don't have enough teachers to do it. So what are some of the things that we can do differently? And I think going back to the residency, I think residency is one way that we're doing that. And I love that the state has really committed to residency work because it is that thing that could be done differently. Colonial has been doing residency since we had our first resident in 2018. And since then, it's grown and changed so much. It's really wonderful to see it. But with the help of the state now saying, like, we're going to set some standards about what this is going to look like, because this is the thing we're going to try that's going to be different. What does it look like to have a resident in the classroom and letting the residency teacher go out and support other new teachers in the building?
Right.
What does it look like to collapse classrooms because there are two or three people in the room to be able to teach more students? So I think Delaware is on the right track of saying, like, yes, we're a small state, but we have big ideas. We can make a big impact. And I think the getting behind this idea of residency is the means to that end. We all know that education can't look the same anymore. We're in completely different times. We're in a teacher shortage.
Right.
What are we going to do differently? And I think that's the question that is begging to be answered.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like you said, just going back to joking about the episode, but seriously, residency, it runs through so many, you know, new strategies towards reducing that shortage, including strategic staffing and working on, you know, that residency definition and things like that, grow your own program. All these things are have a foundation of a residency model. And like you said, you're not new to it. Colonial is not new to it. You've seen it evolve. You've been able to, although you've had the support, like you said, you know, of the state, I'm sure at the local level, right there at Colonial, you all have had opportunities to, you know, have a voice and be invested in, oh, this is not working, and be able to provide that feedback.
And I think that's the most powerful thing in education is the to feel empowered to make changes when something isn't working.
Exactly.
I think that works like from the teacher all the way up to district leadership is feeling empowered to say, this isn't working. What can I do differently? Either a small change I can make or what's a big change I can make. And I think that feeling in residency has really opened different doors to us to say, like, let's just try it. It doesn't feel natural to do this, but like, let's just try it because what we're doing isn't working.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. Right. And like you said, that it is empowering. And I think that's the
most 100% is
part, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. So what is your definition of equity? And what does that definition look like and sound like in your role? I think you've described that already, right? When you were sharing your role, but tell us your definition and how you see that.
I think it's hard to define equity and just here we are 53, 54, 55 episodes in. You know, one thing I think about when I think about equity is first acknowledging that this country was founded on white supremacy. It was founded on the patriarchy, white supremacy, the idea that one race, one gender is more powerful than another, is better than another. And so when we go back to basics and say, if that's how our country was started, then our schools have that running through the currents too, that we are all have this bias in us because it's in the groundwater. It's everything that we see around us. And so when I think about equity, I think to be in an equitable setting for students, it would mean that teachers are honored to be their full authentic selves, that they feel safe to push against policies that feel inequitable, that feel racist, that feel harmful. And it also means that students are recognized as whole children. Getting away from this idea of the teacher is the sage on the stage, that they are the one that has all the wisdom, and students are just empty cups to pour into, and really like trying to flip it and say, our students are walking in with experiences and beliefs and ideas. And how are we honoring that? And how are we honoring it beyond just saying like February, we honor Black Americans you know, we're only going to do it in this month. And this is the only time we're going to celebrate it. We're going to have tacos on Tuesdays. You know, how do we honor culture beyond this, things that just don't feel like they actually honor the children. And so it's really kind of a crazy equity definition, but I do think like when I think about what it could look like, it's really honoring teachers, our administrators, our students as whole people. Making the space at the table big enough where everyone has a voice. And I think in my role, I do think that this generation of teachers that are entering the workforce want to talk about equity. They want to hear that we are getting away from curriculum that is white centered, that we are opening up curriculum a little bit to be more expansive, that we're not banning books. I think we're lucky that we live in a state like Delaware where, knock on wood, where we don't have to fight that battle as well. So in my role, when I'm connecting with candidates, equity is definitely something that we talk about. We talk a lot about the professional development that goes on in Colonial. I think I don't expect to change someone's mind if maybe they don't agree, but I do say like, this is important to us. So if it's not important to you, then this might not be the district for you to work in.
That's fair.
Because you know, you don't want to recruit and just have someone end up leaving because they don't want to engage in courageous conversations because they don't want to dig into their bias and their the beliefs that they hold about children. Making sure that we are talking about equity from the first recruitment event is important. We've also added some equity minded questions to our interviews, and not as like a gotcha, but I think just to vet where a candidate is and like what. Just like you do with any interview question, it's if someone doesn't answer it exactly where you want them to be, you're saying, okay, note that this person might need a little bit more training in classroom management. Let's note that this person might need a little bit more training in some of our equity work. So
sure.
It's definitely something that we're trying to weave into from the recruitment all the way through that interview process. And obviously through their years in Colonial, is making it known that this is something is important to us. Mm-hmm. Because it actually is important to us.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. And that's powerful in itself. You know, you talked about a few things, right? You're talking with candidates, not knowing your full process, right, for screening applicants, but you know, at the interview, at least you're saying that there are questions that are built in. You're trying to share with them mm-hmm. a little bit about Colonial's, priorities, right, around equity or around, being inclusive and belonging and everything, at the table. And I think that's important, right? Like you said, and we're all in this situation. The entire country is in this situation of a teacher shortage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very tempting, I'm sure, for some to say, hey, I just want to get these folks in, I'll figure it out once they're in. And like you said, if it's not a good fit for that candidate, right, then it's hard to retain. And then you're starting this all over again. And so, how, like the residency, to me, I find those things to be quality, right? You're looking for quality at the beginning. The resident is a year long experience of developing a true quality clinical and, experience. Same for this candidate, right? You want to start out knowing that you as a LEA are a good fit for them, right?
Yep.
You know you're a good fit for the LEA, right? You're already there, but that candidate might not feel the same, and it's good to, and I think that's really powerful and important for our listeners to hear, because it can be this, I really need somebody in and I'll work on
yes.
it. And it doesn't necessarily pan out in many ways. Financially, you're spending more money. Professional learning, you're spending, more time and resources, onboarding again, this next candidate, the next candidate, and the next candidate.
Yep.
So thank you for sharing that, Katie.
Yeah. And that also makes me, when we do our interviews, we've kind of changed some of our interview questions so that we are giving a little bit of information about Colonial too, because you're right. It,
yes.
It is like, are you a good fit for us? But do you want to be here? Or do we want you, right? We're in a teacher shortage.
Right. Yes.
Automatically, you sitting down at the interview table is a gold star for us. We're already happy.
Yes.
But is it a good, do you feel like you fit here? And so one thing we've embedded into our interview questions is to give a little bit of background. So for example, we have a question around feedback. So we talk about our coaching and feedback in Colonial, and then we ask the question. We give a little bit about our equity stance and our vision and the professional development we've been through, and then we ask the question. So it doesn't feel so just random questions. We try to connect the questions to work we believe in and that we do in Colonial.
That's great. Again, giving that context, so that,
yes.
So like you said, it's not a gotcha. It really is kind of a vetting of a,
yes.
a great fit. And that's wonderful. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. How can we apply your equity definition? You shared a little bit about this, so I'm going to combine the next two together. How can we apply your equity definition and implementation strategies to recruiting talent? You shared a little bit about that, but also about how can we retain that talent?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think, retention is the hardest piece in this puzzle sometimes. Because it comes down to what's going on in the building, to the colleagues that you're surrounded by, to the support you feel from building leadership. It's very layered. It can be complicated. One thing I think we're trying in Colonial that we're hoping will have big impact are our affinity groups. we're creating race-based spaces for teachers to come together, ideally after a professional development. So as a district, we're reading Cultivating Genius by Goldie Muhammad.
Yes.
And we're hoping that after those building-based PDs, that there's an opportunity for educators, if they want to break into BIPOC and non-BIPOC affinity groups, where they can digest the professional development together in a safe space and then dig a little bit deeper too, with the intention of always coming back together, whole group, because we are one building. We all work together. But this idea that we're creating spaces where especially our BIPOC educators can feel it's a safe space to kind of like digest, unpack some of the things that they heard that were harmful, maybe something that they're thinking differently about, but creating those spaces, we're hoping it not only helps our educators feel safe, but ultimately leads to retention as well.
Absolutely.
Right. So we piloted in the spring. We are kind of growing our affinity groups again now in the fall. And we're hoping that, you know, that's obviously directly tied to our equity work, but we're hoping to see some retention through those affinity spaces as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've heard of that work that that you all piloted and some of the data that was shared in a recent presentation. But, you know, I think that you're spot on, right? It's two parts, right? I love how you're saying, like, it's after a professional learning where there can be, right, misconstrued ideas or feelings that surface, you know, it's very timely, right? It's not like 3 weeks later, now we're going to unpack this. And in 3 weeks, I could decide I don't want to work. You know, I'm just saying, being honest.
Yes, exactly.
Feelings could be so out of sort, et cetera. But anyway, so that's powerful in itself. And like you said, it's a retention strategy, because you're in my mind, right? I'm believing, as a person who has been part of affinity spaces before, you know, that you have this sense of belonging, like even if your feelings did get hurt, even if you didn't get this opportunity to share your specific example, which I'm sure you do have that opportunity. You know, I'm amongst people who I'm comfortable around, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that I can express anything, you know, and that's important, right? It's important to, and then I understand then you all, the two groups do come back together, right? Even though you have groups that meet separately, but then you all come together as a whole, which I think is very important as well, right? Because it's the whole point is not to be separated, right?
Exactly.
And there's value in coming back together.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Can you give us three tips for our listeners with regard to equity as a catalyst for attracting and retaining quality educators? You've given us so much already. You might not have three more up your sleeve, but I know you do, Katie.
I mean, you know, I do think the same ones. I think residencies for sure, because residencies help. We can't remove the barriers, but we can find ways to jump over some of those barriers that exist in entering education. Again, that's podcast 53, 54, 55, but residencies, to make it quick, affinity groups. I also think the commitment has to be genuine, right? It can't be that we have some pamphlets and they have Black and Brown educators and that shows you that we're all about it, right? Like it has to,
right?
It has to feel real. There has to be meaning behind it. There has to be belief behind it. And I think for us in Colonial, when things really started to shift was when there was this really strong backing from district leadership that said, this is it. This is our thing. Equity is important. We know that we are not doing the right things by our Black and Brown students, and we're going to start uncovering and unpacking some of those challenges. Yes. We know that our Black and Brown educators are leaving at a higher rate. We're going to start uncovering and unpacking some of those challenges that exist. So I think, a real genuine commitment is extremely important in recruitment and retention.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Those were three big ones that took all of our listeners were writing them down because, those are things that move the needle, right?
Yes.
Making that change. Well, our last question is trending on the podcast. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what legacy message would you print on it and why?
Oh, I have two.
Yes.
And so I'm going to do them both quickly. I'll give you 30 seconds for each. Okay. So the first one is, without teachers, nothing else matters. I think it's like, teachers are the most important cog in this crazy wheel, and not just district wide, statewide, worldwide. Without teachers, nothing else exists. Like, there are no doctors, there are no engineers, there are no, that's it. You learn from someone, you learn alongside someone. Teachers are so important. We ebb and flow as a nation around how we treat our teachers, but I think without them, nothing else matters. So that's my first one. Yeah. My second one would be, teachers are not superheroes because students do not need to be saved.
All right.
That's my mic drop one. I think, we get into this mantra often that teachers are meant to save, it's this kind of national mantra that we went through with COVID that was like, teachers are superheroes. They do so much. And that's really not the case. It's not the message we want to be sending, that teachers are supposed to be saving children, because it tells us that kids need to be saved, which is not the right message. Right. It also puts a lot of pressure on a teacher to do 100 different things. And that's, teacher burnout is so real. The last thing we want is to be piling on, saying that kids are on fire and now you're the firefighter.
It's so true. Mm.
It's not the right message. So those are my two that I would have two billboards right there on 95, and they would go right back and forth to each other, be seen by all. But I think those would be my two.
Oh my goodness. Well, those were powerful. Both of those are right. I can see them already. I'm ready to help get them up there.
Right.
Yeah, but you brought up some really great points in those two billboards. There's so much in each of them. The bottom line is that, teachers have a huge impact, right, on everyone, or have had, no matter where we are in our lives or our ages at this point. But then the other pieces that, it is a pressure, right? Teachers already are very altruistic and want to do, the best for kids. And then when you add on those additional pressures and it goes back to, it's a whole society, a whole system approach, to educating and taking care of students. So Katie, I'm not going to keep you. Thank you so much for this amazing, amazing, amazing interview full of gems and nuggets and just things for us to take away and to think about, as we approach recruiting and retention strategies in Delaware and across the country. So,
yeah. Thank you for having me, Anne. It was fun. It was a nice, just time to chat. So I loved it. Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Until next time.
Okay.